Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fourth quarter, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Fourth quarter time. Fourth quarter. I always love when they do that on the sidelines. We're coming to you live, as always, from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. At Zach Gelb on Twitter is always how you get at me, and also on our telephone lines, which is sponsored by Geico, 855-212-4227. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Before we get to the news brief, I've had a song stuck in my head all throughout the day. Celine Dion, It's All Coming Back to Me Now. Now, right before the start of the season, I saw ESPN had a bunch of football players singing. It was Shaquille Griffin, Gardner Minshew, I think Saquon Barkley too. And I saw that commercial today at least three times. And all throughout the day, and I have about a 25-minute walk to work. And on that entire walk and all throughout the day, that song, baby, 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 it's all coming back to me now, stuck in my head, in my cabeza. Connor Green, I have a very important thing for you to do. Because maybe I have to hear it now. I will admit, I went on my Apple Music and I downloaded the song and I listened to it on the way to work one time and it did not get out of my head. But I think if we go there again, usually we do that Backstreet, Zach is back all right intro that we had the Backstreet Boys record for us at the Super Bowl. That's what we usually do. That's a staple at 9:40 p.m. Eastern. Bag that today. We need to bump back with Celine Dion's It's All Coming Back to Me Now. It's all coming back to me. Stuck in my head the entire day.
And I think I might grab those clips of you singing just now and send them over to Michelle Tafoya. Because she loves your voice so much.
Bum, bum, ba-da-bum, bum, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-bum. Bum, bum, ba-da-ba-ba-bum, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-bum. I'll tell you, I am terrible when it comes to lyrics. I don't even know if I got the lyrics right to the Celine Dion song. I will hear a song, it will get stuck in my head, and I will completely butcher the lyrics. You know why I like the NBC song intro, and it's been stuck in my head, and I've been singing it on the airwaves, unfortunately, for the listeners? It's because there's no words there. So I could at least get the tune. But if there were words to that, you know, when they eventually get to the waiting all day for Sunday night, that part I cannot sing. That's the only part I will get is waiting all day for Sunday night. And it's like, Sunday night football on NBC, yeah. And they get to bum, bum, ba-da-bum, bum, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-bum. We're emanating from Mile High. Al Michaels here with you. We get the slide-in from Chris Collinsworth. The slide-in is legendary. That's what I should have asked Michelle. Oh, I'm an idiot. When is the slide-in coming back? That's what people want to know. I think it's a little bit silly. They're in the booth together. I know it's a lot of optics. You can't have Chris Collinsworth do the sliding because of COVID-19. We got to get the sliding back. That could be a mission of mine before the end of the season. I want to be the guy that gets the Chris Collinsworth sliding back. So I will annoy, I will pester NBC until they give us Chris Collinsworth on the air, and then I will plead to him and I will implore him that the sliding has to come on back, and how much it would mean to me as a football fan to see that sliding. That's my mission. And when I put my mind to something, I usually find a way to get it done. I've never had Chris Collinsworth on the show. We've had a lot of big names. Never had Chris Collinsworth. It's time to get Chris Collinsworth, and I'm going to tell him sometimes you just don't listen to management. And this is one of those times where you don't listen to management and you do the slide-in. your time is fading away anyway, Chris Collinsworth. Even Michelle Tafoya. Oh, yeah, we got Drew Brees signed up. She said it. Hey, I wasn't even going to go there. They got Drew Brees signed up. They know Drew Brees will eventually replace Chris Collinsworth. They're already working in your son. So what, you think maybe you got another year, 2-3 years left? And I think Collinsworth is really good calling the games. Connor, you were saying this earlier. All the broadcast crews, you personally like Michaels, Collinsworth, and Michelle Tafoya the best.
I think that is the best crew in all of sports.
All of sports?
All of sports.
Ooh. Hockey, I love Eddie Olczyk and Doc Emrick and Pierre Maguire. Football, other great football crews, Nance Romo and Tracy Wilson, that's pretty good. Buck and Aikman? Buck and Aikman is fantastic. Who else am I missing? Other sports, basketball, Mike Breen? I like Mike Breen a lot. Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy, will you agree, a little bit overrated? Of course, I love when Mark Jackson goes, hands down, man down, and then tosses right to the commercial break. I'm starting to get a little tired of Van Gundy and Jackson. You know who's been great? And they're not doing games anymore because Ian's doing football. Ian and Stan Van Gundy. They were phenomenal. Other than that, I'm trying to think. Baseball, well, it's not nationally baseball. Like, Buck and Smoltz, whatever. But there's some great local crews. Any other announcing crews you like? You got any? Or you got a loss for words on this one?
I mean, I know I love Al Michaels. I love Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah.
I really love Mike Breen. I think that the NBA Bang! National crew, they do a great job, too.
My favorite part does the TNT crew. You give me Ernie Johnson, Shaq, Charles, even though we don't see eye to eye, Kenny the Jet Smith. You give me that crew and just have Shaq and Charles going at it and then breaking down basketball in between. That's my favorite crew. And I didn't think it was necessary to add in Draymond Green. And Draymond's even going after Chuck too. Draymond did a good job. He'll have a future in broadcasting. The one other thing though that I'll say, when we get to some of these crews and other crews that do a good job, NFL Today on CBS, great studio show. The Fox crew, great studio show. Baseball, that postseason crew of Burkhart, A-Rod, Ortiz, and Frank Thomas, and they used to have Pete Rose. It's amazing how the traditional people go, can't have personality, can't have fun, it's too much of a clown show. I think that stuff is great for the studio shows where you have fun and then you mix in the hard-hitting analysis. The thing, though, one other thing I'll say on broadcast before we get to the news brief, because we're going to get to Antoine Winfield Jr. in a few moments. When, I guess ESPN on Monday night, they had two feeds of the game. So you had Levy, you had Riddick, and you had Greasy. They were on one feed and then on another feed. And I think that Monday Night Football crew, it's not great, but it's not bad. I think it's good. I think it's listenable. The other crew, though, of Fowler and Herbstreit. Fowler and Herbstreit for college football, by the way, is phenomenal. And they do a great job with the NFL. Fowler and Herbie, I guess they were bringing on guests. So at one point they had on Luke Kuechly. At another point, they had on Peyton Manning, and they also brought on Charles Barkley. Peyton Manning was going after Charles for his weight, and Charles go, can't do that in the year 2020. You can't do that anymore. I thought that was a good moment, too. I thought that was funny, and I'm sure there was some curmudgeon out there. Just give me the football. All right, just give me the football. We don't need Charles Barkley. He's on everything. We don't need Barkley and Peyton Manning. We don't need entertainment. Just give me the meat and the potatoes and the football and all of that. Because you'll always have crazy people like that. Without further ado, let's get to the news brief. Let's roll.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Aaron Jones looking for a new contract. So is Packers offensive lineman David Bakhtiari. A lot of questions with the Packers, how they're going to be able to afford everyone. David Bakhtiari was on his weekly spot with our friends at 105.7 The Fan, the Wendy's Big Show. And here is what David Bakhtiari said about the cap situation with the Packers.
The Kansas City Chiefs had, what, $100,000? in cap space. And exactly. They signed three. Yep. They restructured did. One, signed three guys to big year deals that are
yes, they did.
All over $15 million, $20 million, $45 million. A lot of excuses can be thrown around and misinformation. The point is, at the end of the day, if you want to sign a guy and you want to keep him, you can do it. People just use the cap as an excuse. That's what they can hide behind, but they can get it done. You can go and restructure with whoever and get money to get pulled from wherever and, you know, push back the potential cap hit to later years. You can get it done if you want to get it done.
He's 100% right. So many fans, they go, oh, look at the salary cap. Oh, well, you see the salary cap. And I was in Philadelphia. That's all I heard. How are they going to afford everyone? Look at the salary cap. And then they find a way to get it done. If you want to keep someone, like David Bakhtiari said, you could get it done. Lane Kiffin, now coaching Ole Miss. He was on Part of My Take, and they asked him, let's say the Jets fire Adam Gase, which is going to eventually happen, even though the owner said he was a brilliant offensive mind. Would Lane Kiffin be interested in the Jets if they came calling?
Let's just say it is March 1st of 2021. Ole Miss is national champions. How does Lane Kiffin, head coach of the New York Jets, sound to you?
Oh, terrible.
That's the correct answer.
Correct answer.
That actually tells me you've got great instincts.
Terrible.
Yes. You seen their roster?
Ooh, Lane Kiffin. He just laughed away an NFL job and goes, and former coach of the Raiders too, you see their roster? Ooh. It's rough for the JETS, Jets. There's been a lot of low moments. The ratings are terrible for the Jets. The wide receivers are terrible for the Jets. The offensive line is terrible for the Jets. The defense is terrible for the Jets. The coach is terrible for the Jets. Everything's terrible for the JETS, Jets. Ugly. Did you at all see this interview? Did you see the video of Lane Kiffin, Connor Green?
I saw the video, yeah.
He looks like Big Ben right before the pandemic, right when the pandemic did hit without the beard. He looks like he's had too many double stuffed Oreos, if I may say. And I could say that because I'm a large human being. So a large guy could go after another large guy. You being a little bit on the emaciated side, it's not fair for you to comment. But you would probably say he could probably lose about 15 pounds.
Look,
right?
The pandemic's been tough for all of us. You know, even I put on a few pounds, eating a little too many cookies and stuff like that. It's been tough.
That excuse, though, doesn't apply anymore. We all went through that part of the pandemic. March, April, May, June, Italian bread, wine, cheese, chips, crackers, cookies. We're now in September, inching closer and closer to October. Next week it's October. It's time to get back in a good physical well-being shape, all right? No more excuses, no days off for you, all right, Connor Green?
Sounds good.
Adam Gase. We go from a guy that doesn't want the Jets job to a guy that has the Jets job and probably doesn't want the Jets job after being there and the beating that he has to take. A lot of Jets players have been criticizing Adam Gase's practices. This is Adam Gase responding.
Nobody said anything during the week. I mean, I felt like we had really good tempo to practice. I mean, sometimes, you know, an individual guy, if he wants to change something, we talk about it every week. You know, it's not like it's not an open forum. If somebody doesn't like the way something's going, I mean, we can easily speak up.
There's one thing to be a bad football team, then there's another thing to be a bad football team in New York. For example, you're in Detroit, you're a bad football team. People just kind of, I'm not saying accept it. I don't know if they're analyzing every move, though, of Matt Patricia. And I don't think they like Matt Patricia in Detroit. I think Matt Patricia should be fired. And Detroit has some good fans, don't get me wrong. In New York, though, when you're on a bad team, you got to deal with Joe Beningo each and every day. And trust me, they got some good radio hosts in Detroit. I love Mike Valenti. But Beningo, he did that interview with Avery Williamson. And Beningo's not, you know, some people are like, I'm a talk show host, I'm a media member. No, Beningo's a fan. Everywhere he goes, you know, he goes to Avery Williamson, bro, all right, bro. Your coach, they don't want to talk to me. And then Avery's there. What do you want me to say, Joe? That was great stuff. That was 20 minutes of just pure comedy and pure greatness and pure legendary Joe Beningo with Avery Williamson. Let's hear from the commissioner of the NBA, Adam Silver. When's next season going to start, commissioners, courtesy of CNN?
My best guess is that even though, as you said, it'll be the 2021 season, that season won't start until 21. We said a week ago or so that the earliest we would start is Christmas of this year. But the more I'm learning, even listening to Dr. Fauci this morning, I continue to believe that we're going to be better off getting into January. The goal for us next season is to play a standard season, to your other part of your question, 82-game season and playoffs. And further, the goal would be to play games in home arenas in front of fans. But there's still a lot that we need to learn.
I wanted the first game to be Christmas Day. That's when I thought it should have been. If you're telling me somewhere in January, that means you want to go later into the summer. I think the NBA likes the way that this is kind of structured right now. Here's the bigger thing. They say they want to play in the home arenas in front of fans. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't. And we had Michelle Roberts, the executive director of the NBPA, on the show, and they said they know how to get this done and get it to work, and that's playing in a bubble. And then I said, well, would your players want to commit for a full regular season inside the bubble? And she goes, yeah, I'm not ready to go there yet. That was a few months ago. Let's hear from LeBron James. Lakers took a 2-0 lead, didn't show up in the first three quarters last night, made it a game in the fourth quarter, and then Jamal Murray went off at the end, and the Nuggets did take, now the Nuggets are down 2-1 in this series, and they did take game three. Here's King James on what led to the Nuggets' victory.
I mean, there's a penalty in the third quarter with like 9.5 minutes to go, and we had some turnovers that led to some easy buckets for them. We had 16 turnovers for 25 points, and we put them to the line 29 times, so it's not going to be winning ingredients for us if we continue to do that.
Let's be real. It's because you didn't show up for the first three quarters. In the fourth quarter, you guys were down, and then out of nowhere, somewhere between the third and the fourth, it went from like a 20-point Nuggets lead to then the Nuggets are only up by four. You didn't care in the first three quarters. You started to turn it up late, and you ran out of time, and Murray made some big shots and had some confidence at the end. That's why you lost the game. I don't believe the Nuggets are winning this series. I'm not concerned after game three. Game four will be telling on how much of a series we'll have at the end of the day, even if the Nuggets win game four. And they've been a great story this year. They've been a story I've enjoyed. The Lakers are going to the NBA Finals, and I do believe the Lakers are going to win the championship this year. Right now, end of the first quarter, Miami 24, Boston 23. Must win for Boston. They can't go down 3-1 this series at 2-1 in favor of Miami. So, game is tight early. I was curious if Miami would go down late and then if Boston could hold the lead. Right now, it's a one-point game. Still have three quarters to go. And then finally, let's take a stop in the city of brotherly love where the Phillies stink, the Eagles stink, and the Philadelphia 76ers were severely disappointing this year. Doug Peterson, the Super Bowl-winning head coach, was at the podium. And he got into it with the reporter.
Some of the throws that he's missing are sort of like layups. What could be the reason for some of those easier misses that he's missing?
Have you played quarterback in the National Football League?
I have not, Doug.
Okay. They're not layups. There ain't a throw out here that's a layup. Some of it is just timing with young guys. Some of it is just, Carson just being not accurate at that particular time. There's all kinds of reasons for accuracy, and these are things that we continue to work on and will continue to work on, the entire season.
Now, I could confirm the reporter Dave Zangaro has probably never played football. Dave's a really good dude. I would not have expected him, though, to play football and also play quarterback. Doug, though, there are some easy throws. And this is not all on Carson. The front office did a bad job constructing this team. I still believe Carson Wentz is a good quarterback, and last year he showed you that with not a lot around him. And there wasn't a lot of adjustments made this offseason, and Carson has made some bad throws. So if you ask me, is this more on the organization or Carson? It's more on the organization. However, we keep on getting into these waves. Carson's good, Carson's bad, Carson's good, Carson's bad. At some point, you got to look at what you have at the quarterback position, and even though I believe in him, then you start to wonder if he's worth it. And the Eagles, I thought that they really did draft Jalen Hurts as an insurance policy. That's what I think he is. I don't think you make a change at quarterback. It's way too early after two games. Carson, though, has got to start going Superman like he did last year to elevate his team, even though he's been handed a bad deck of cards here. He's been handed a bad hand, bad cards here, and it's up to him to now pull him out of it. Last year, able to do so. This year, it's not looking pretty. I don't think it will be pretty for the Eagles. Antoine Winfield Jr. going to join us next. We'll talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bucks got the Broncos this upcoming weekend, and Antoine Winfield Jr., 11 tackles last week, and also a strip sack. We talked to the Bucks' young defensive player in 5 minutes.
The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
All right, rocking and rolling. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. I loved our conversation right before the draft with Antoine Winfield Jr. Now Antoine Winfield Jr. is starting for the 1-1 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Bucs got a victory on Sunday, their first of the season, taking down the Carolina Panthers. And how about the performance from Antoine Winfield Jr.? Had 11 tackles in the game and also had a big strip sack fumble. And he's kind enough to join us right now on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Antoine, congratulations on the victory on Sunday and the big performance. Thanks for the time and how you been?
I've been good, and I appreciate that.
No problem. So that must have been some scene for you on Sunday. We'll talk about it in just a bit. But since we're finally catching up with you before, since you got drafted, take me back to that night when you did go in the second round, 45th overall to Tampa, and relive what that was like.
Yeah, it was an amazing experience. It was a dream come true. You know, I always dreamed of getting drafted by a team, and that night was just super special and something I'll always remember for the rest of my life.
Now, just remember talking to you last time, and I saw you play at Minnesota. I thought you were a late first-round talent, and I thought you should have gone in the first round, and you're making people pay for it early in your career. When you didn't go in that first round, did that kind of set a little extra chip on your shoulder? Did you use that as motivation, or did you not really think much of it?
Yeah, definitely use it as motivation, but I knew, you know, the Lord had his plan for me already set out, so wherever he wanted me to go, I'm at the exact position that I'm supposed to be. So, you know, I don't really look at it like too much as a motivational fact. I just look at it like this is exactly where I'm supposed to be.
This season, you know, has so many challenges, and we hear how rookies could be impacted by this more than ever with the lack of really a full training camp, no preseason games. It looks like you're adjusting fine and taking most advantage out of this opportunity, but how would you put it into words on what the adjustment has been like from going to college at Minnesota to now playing in the National Football League for a team that's expected to do some big things this year with Tampa?
Yeah, it was a fast jump for us. We didn't get a chance to really go through OTAs and do those things during the summer, and we also didn't really have any preseason games, so we're just kind of thrown in the fire right away. But I feel like the jump was very smooth, and I feel like I'd just be getting better and better with more experience and more time I'm out there on the field. I just feel like my experience is just getting better.
Do you feel comfortable right now, or do you feel, you know, you're still getting your feet, like, all settled in with the NFL?
Yeah, no, I'm feeling comfortable. Right after the first drive of the New Orleans game, I'm like, all right, this is just football. I'm about to go out here and just do my job and play fast and be comfortable. So I feel like I've been comfortable.
So you were nervous before that first game going up against the Saints? Hey, it's Breeze, it's Brady, is as big as it could be. Week one in the NFL, everyone's excited to get it back. What were you like about 45 minutes right before kickoff?
Right before kickoff, I was just excited. I'm like, this is my first NFL game. I just couldn't wait to play. I was super anxious to go out there and just play.
Did you sleep a lot the night before or not much sleep?
Yeah, not much sleep.
Antoine Winfield Jr. here with us. So when you're adjusting to new life and now you have a new job and you're getting out of college and getting ready to play in the NFL, I know a lot of people lean on family. You have a big football family with your father playing the National Football League for a bunch of years. How imperative has your dad been in this process, and what advice has he given you so far?
Yeah, I would say the advice that he's given me is just to go out here and just be myself, you know. He told me, like, I've been playing football my entire life, so go out there and just do what you've been doing. And yeah, my family's amazing, especially just leaning on my dad. You know, he has so many years of experience. He has knowledge for me, so I'll go and we'll watch film through, like, FaceTime or something on, like, my opponents, and it's just been very helpful. He's been helping me, like, break down film and everything still. So I feel like that's been very important.
How have you been taking care of yourself? Because this has not been easy, what we've been going through in the world since March with the pandemic, and also the fight for social justice and mental health has been right at the forefront. What have you been doing? Have you done anything differently to make sure that we get the best version of Antoine Winfield Jr.?
No, not really. I've just been doing the same things I've been doing, so I wouldn't say it's anything really different that I've been doing.
Fair enough. Here's what I also want to ask you. With your dad, because, you know, in the radio business that I'm in, I followed in my dad's footsteps as well. He was involved in the business, still is. And people always ask me, did you feel pressure because your dad was in it to get into radio? Is this something that you truly loved? Was football always something that you loved, or did you feel a little pressure to follow in dad's footsteps, seeing the career that your dad had?
Yeah, there was no pressure at all. You know, I play football because I love playing the sport. You know, I watched him play, and then I fell in love with the game early on. I knew it was always something that I wanted to do as I got older. And now I'm finally here, just living my dream.
How valuable was that experience, being able to be with your dad when you were younger and seeing him go through a lot of things that you're probably going through right now early on in your career?
It's very valuable. You know, I got to see how he would train, what he would do. And, you know, I just try to emulate that to my best ability and try to do some of those same things. And so I think it was very valuable.
Antoine Winfield Jr. here with us. I know you're all set for the next game coming up against Denver as you guys go on a little bit of a road trip here. Let me, though, ask you about last week up against the Panthers. First win with the Tampa Bay Bucks this year. Your first win in the history for you in the National Football League. And you had a big game, 11 tackles like we were talking about. You had the big strip sack, too, that forced the fumble. And you got a game ball afterwards. That's not a bad first victory for Antoine Winfield Jr. Take me in the locker room after the game when Coach gave you that game ball.
Yeah, you know, it was just exciting. You know, I did my job, and they gave me the game ball, and, you know, it was just a really cool experience to get that first one, and hopefully I have many more to come.
I like this front seven. I think this defense is an underrated storyline. We'll see how the secondary continues to grow. But what do you think the potential of this defense is? I know everyone's going to talk about Tom and Mike Evans and Godwin and Gronk, and I think the defense flies under the radar a little bit, but you tell me what you guys got there in Tampa with that defense led by Todd Bowles.
Yeah, the sky's the limit for the defense. You know, all around, I feel like we have great talent. So I feel like, the sky's the limit for us.
You're a student of the game. Being able to be a teammate of Tom Brady, take me back to the first time that you met Tom when you became teammates of him. What was that like?
Yeah, so the first time I met Tom, I think I was going to get COVID tested because we got to get tested every single day. And so I was just walking past and you know, I just kind of introduced myself. And, you know, it was a cool experience. You know, it's you know, Tom is the GOAT. You know, I'm used to seeing him on TV and everything, and seeing him in person, it was just a cool experience.
I know you're a professional, and I know that you're a teammate of his, and now he's a coworker of yours, but were you a little bit starstruck when you saw him the first time with him being the GOAT?
Yeah, a little bit. Definitely a little bit starstruck.
When we look at that offense, I know we haven't seen the best version of that offense. You get to go up against them in practice each and every day. What do you think this offense is going to be in Tampa?
The offenses, I think they're going to be amazing. You know, we have so much talent everywhere. It's crazy. So I think once they get things rolling, they're going to be just fine.
How intense are your practices?
The practices are pretty intense. you know, we go out there and we just trying to get better every day. So practices are pretty intense and we work hard.
Have you picked off Brady yet in practice?
I have not picked him off yet.
What the heck's going on?
Not yet.
Well, you got to start picking off Tom, right? That's a little extra motivation each and every day. You're going up against the greatest quarterback of all time. Try to pick him off. That's something that you tell your kids about one day, right?
Right, one day.
Antoine Winfield Jr. here with us for a few more minutes on the Zach Gelb Show. So the team that you got coming up on Sunday, Denver, they're off to an 0-2 start. They have injuries left and right with Drew Locke and Philip Lindsay and Cortland Sutton. What do you see out of this Denver offense that you have on Sunday?
Yeah, the Denver offense, they have some nice weapons. Unfortunately, some of their players have been hurt, but, you know, that doesn't change our mindset behind what we're coming in to do. So, you know, we're still just I'll continue to get better, continue watching film and everything so we can get ready to do our jobs on Sunday.
Has the biggest key this week been trying to contain Noah Fant? Because he's done a really nice job for them, the big tight end number 87 through the first two games.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of the better players. He's a great player. So our goal is try to contain him as much as possible.
So you've been on a road trip before. You had to go to New Orleans. Now you're going to Denver this upcoming week. How do you describe the traveling experience and where your level of comfortability is at with all the concerns going on in the world with COVID-19?
Yeah, traveling is a little bit weird, you know, because we have to do social distancing and all that. So we're pretty much quarantining on the road, so it's not like we can do much or anything. But it's not that bad. It's not too bad of an experience.
And so far, your first two games, there have been no fans in Tampa, no fans in New Orleans. I think there's going to be like 5,700 fans this weekend in Denver.
Yep.
You know, watching football and going to football games, it's raucous atmosphere, college, the NFL. How odd has it been with no fans in the stands so far?
It is a little weird. You know, it's super quiet, actually, when you're on the field. You can hear pretty much everybody talking. So I would say that's one thing that's weird about playing with no fans. You know, I can't wait till we have some.
Is there any adjustments that you have to take, you know, to get yourself mentally prepared for the game? I know when the ball's placed on the field, hey, you're trying to show your worth and show why you should be making a lot of money one day in this league, but not having that energy in the building, is there a way that you try to create it or pump yourself up for the game a little bit differently?
Yeah, we just create our own energy out there. You know, everybody's just feeding off one another. Once we get on the field. So we just do our best to just create our own energy and go out there and have fun and do our jobs.
On the way out with Antoine Winfield Jr., had a big game last week up against the Panthers. Bucks 1-1, trying to get to 2-1, go up against the Broncos on Sunday. Well, let me ask you about your old stomping grounds, Minnesota. This has been so weird from afar. They're going to have a season. They're not going to have a season. Now the season is back on. Have you been talking to some of your former Minnesota teammates that are still there? And where's their excitement level that they're actually going to get to play coming up in October?
Yeah, I talked to a few of the DBs, and they're super excited that they got a season. And I'm glad they get to have a season. So it's going to be fun being able to watch those guys out there.
Last one for you, Antoine Winfield Jr. A lot of people nationally are down on Drew Brees as of late. You got to go up against him. You guys lost that game week one. What did you see out of Drew in week one, and how much do you think he still has left in the tank?
Oh, he has a lot left in the tank. You know, Drew Brees is, you know, going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. So, yeah, he's still Drew Brees, in my opinion.
Well, it's going to be a fun race this year inside the NFC South between you and obviously, of course, the Saints. Keep up the great work. Once again, congratulations on the performance on Sunday, and we'll see what you do this upcoming week. We appreciate you making some time, as always.
All right, that sounds good. I appreciate it.
That's Antoine Winfield Jr. from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We got to get an update in a little bit late. We'll come on back. We'll do the closing bell, give you a little update on basketball, big goal in hockey that just happened. We'll have that all in the closing bell. First up, though, with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, we got DeMarco Belletti. Here, it's the Zach Gelb Show. Sorry. I thought we were going to get a liner. Like, you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. I was rocking out in the studio to a little Celine Dion, as this song has been stuck in my head all day. You know what I'll do tonight, Connor Green? After I watch the second half of this Heat-Celtics game, Heat up 50-44 with about 30 seconds left in the first half, Tampa just scored another goal. It's either 4-1 or 5-1. I'm going to watch. It's 5-1 Tampa with a minute left in the second. I'm going to watch James Corden, Carpool Karaoke, in Vegas with Celine Dion. Epic. If you watch one thing tonight, and who knows what you're watching late at night, go on out there and watch Celine Dion with James Corden in Las Vegas. That's one of the worst things to happen with this pandemic. That's not a life or death situation. Things that got taken away from us. It's Carpool Karaoke. We need more Carpool Karaoke's coming on back. Let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
That's right. Let's get to the closing bell right now. Baby, baby, baby. Jamal Murray had a lot of Nuggets fans screaming, baby, 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 last night. As that rhythm, and there was a lot of me being tone deaf there. Michelle Tavoya earlier complimented me on my singing voice. Yeah. I think she'll have to take those comments back. She could be on Freezing Cold Takes Exposed tonight with some of my singing. So Jamal Murray last night, Lakers didn't show up for the first three quarters. Grant played well, Jokic played well. And Jamal Murray, right when the Lakers were just getting back into it, made a few big shots. Nuggets have been fun to watch. Lakers are still going to win this series, but cool to see another big Jamal Murray moment last night. We give him a stock up. Urban Meyer did an interview the other day, and they asked him about running up the score against Michigan, and he said, I know this is going to make news, but to be honest, I don't care. I did not feel bad running up the score against Michigan. Too many times we hear so much about sportsmanship in sports. I'm not saying act like a fool, be terrible. When you're going up against a rival, though, and you're on the field, what are you supposed to do? Let up? Let your players get hurt and not try? No. You're going out there and you step on the throat of the Michigan players and you drag them up and down the field. And I want to see Michigan beat Ohio State. I do. I'm not a big fan of Urban Meyer. I have a lot of friends that did go to Michigan. I have one friend that go to Ohio State, so it's fun if the friend from Ohio State has been chirping all these years just gets some humble pie from Michigan fans, but yeah, I don't see it happening this year. But I like that answer from Urban Meyer, not giving the politically correct answer of, oh, you gotta respect the opponent. No. Rivalry game, stomp on the throat of the opponent. Stock up to Urban Meyer. Trey Mancini, he finished 6 months of his chemo treatment for colon cancer. Good to see that his chemo treatments are over. Just want to give a congratulations and a job well done to Trey Mancini of the Baltimore Orioles. Stock up. Some unfortunate news today. Gale Sayers did pass away, the legendary tailback at the age of 77. Dementia is just absolutely brutal. It's impacted my family. And I know a lot of times if someone passes away, it's a somber day. It's a day that's filled with a lot of tears. Gale Sayers, even though he got robbed of his later years, he lived a great life. So let's remember the better moments, a lot of the moments of many fans gathering around, watching him play football and passing down those memories throughout a family. All you hear is positive things about Gale Sayers. We had David Hall on earlier. If you missed any of that, radio.com, rewind function on my Twitter, you could find the interview as well. I encourage everyone to check that out. Really good perspective from Chicago. So just my condolences to the Sayers family and all of Chicago Bear fans and all NFL fans and anyone that knew Gale. So stock up to Gale and a great life. All right, let's lighten up the mood a little bit. And we do so with the beard mustache off. Let's hear from Ryan Fitzpatrick.
The mustache versus the beard. I think the beard is a cooler look. And I think guys that grow mustaches a lot of times have patchy sides for their beards. So they just stick with the mustache.
And the Minshew response?
I think I've shown that I can grow a beard with no patchy sides. But, you know, I'm gonna have respect for my elders, especially when they're much, much elder. Be respectful.
So I kind of have that problem. I don't grow a great beard. I have patchy sides, but I grow a good goatee. I would not go a mustache. Mustache to me a little bit creepy. when I was really overweight, like peak worst weight, I went on a cruise and did the goatee. I look back at those photos, horrible. Nothing wrong, though, with the little Fitz Minshew mania and a big mustache and a big beard debate, but I got to disagree and give a stock down to Ryan Fitzpatrick, because Gardner Minshew, that's one bad mustache, and I don't think he's grown it because of the patches that he may or may not be able to grow on the side of his face. Stock down to Fitz. Bill Belichick, I got to get back into the positives here. Bill Belichick, what he wore to that press conference today in that gross hoodie with all the holes in it, he's living his best life. That's what he's doing. And he's showing you, even with six championships, even with a new quarterback in town, I'm still as hungry as ever. And after a loss, I'm up late at night for multiple nights, and there's no days off. No days off. No days off. No days off. Bill Belichick, I love you. Keep being you. Stock up. And stock down to anyone that's like, oh, Belichick shouldn't do this. Any other coach. He's not any other coach. And not only that, I hate people that go, you should dress for the job that you want, not that the job that you have. What else does Bill Belichick want? He has everything in the world. Stock down to all those idiots on Twitter today.
Idiots, get back in there at once. It's so.
I saw a report that at Jackson State, Deion Sanders was going to hire Terrell Owens and Warren Sapp. That does not look like it's to be a case. Stock down to that coaching staff, because that would have been a whole lot of fun. And then finally, I got to give a stock down to myself. There's a saying, you've got dealt a bad... Well, what is it? I never get this right.
He was dealt a bad hand.
Dealt a bad hand. I got to engrave that into my mind, because I always say he got dealt a bad deck, to a hand of cards. I always say it's a bad deck of cards he was dealt. So he was dealt a bad hand of cards. See, that's one of those things. When I get to specific sayings, I butcher them. And then if you give me song lyrics, baby, 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 I usually mess them up. Fun show today. I'd like to thank Michelle Tafoya, Antoine Winfield Jr., and David Haw. Great job by Connor Green and each and every one of you for calling, listening, and tweeting. We'll be back tomorrow. Don't want to miss it. 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm Zach Gelb. Be safe, everybody. Peace.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.